Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and Fox Sports Hopewell, 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. I am your boy. I am your host, Mike Knox. And indeed, it's a pleasure to be here back where Barbershop Talks Meets Radio. I am your Million Dollar host. You are the Million Dollar audience. And together, we tag in and out to form the Million Dollar Connection. People, welcome to the Soul and Sports. People, we got a show for you today. The best and worst of the weekend. I mean, when your teammates calling you a bitch, it can't get better than that. Draymond Green to Kevin Durant. We don't need you. The Philadelphia Eagles' worst defeat by a defending Super Bowl champion in the history of the Super Bowl. That makes me want to puke. 347-637-3859. Somebody to call in. We have a show for you today. But as always, I am not here by myself. No. The crew will be here as well. But since you're going to listen to them, go ahead and follow us all on 1340 Fox Sports AM on the Twitter. Make sure you follow yours truly, Mike Knox. That's spelled with three X's. Because like the NFC East. Oh, yeah. I am hardcore light. Ronda Rousey, I am hardcore. Damn it, three X's, this just can't go no more hardcore than me. Also, follow the station, give me the identification that you're listening to right now. That's Soul, S-O-U-L, capital letter N, sports. And tune in, lock in, wherever podcasts are sold. Also are free. But as always, people live from the city of brotherly love. I'm not sure how much love he got to share after yesterday's. I don't know if it scared me, but damn. What's going on, Jay Chris?
What's going on, Mike? I mean, you know, I ain't even tripping about yesterday. I fully expected it to happen. I told the wife as soon as the game started that I fully expect the Eagles to get their ass whooped today, and that's what happened. And, you know, I actually expected them to score more than they did. I thought the score was going to be like 40-something to like 21, 23, something like
right,
that. But.
Right. Me too.
So, you know, it is what it is. But Jimmy Butler's playing for the Sixers, so I'm all right. I'm focused on the Sixers right now.
Well, hashtag me too and everything you said. I also predicted we were going to get our asses handed to us, our arses handed to us. But I thought we would have some kind of, you know, some kind of dog in the fight, if you will. No bark at all. And it pissed me off. Oh, the aftermath just completely, the pistosity, what did he say? The pistosity was taken to an all new level. With the 4th and 7, and then the trash talk afterwards, like, oh, this is what they were going to get last year. Oh, they pissed me off, the New Orleans Saints. Who that said it could beat them Saints? Right now, nobody. But y'all are choking the playoffs. Just watch. Also, welcome to the program live from the DMV. We know his black ass better have some ID. Plus, it's the holiday time. They locking our brother just because he's a brother. What's going on, Wale?
What's going on, everybody, man? I mean, first off, condolences to Alex Smith, and, you know, for that situation, that gruesome injury. That was disgusting to watch yesterday. But yeah, I'm like what? I'm on basketball. You see LeBron for 51.
This is where for 2 years on Fox Sports 1340 AM, you two both have told me, and I quote, "I don't care about basketball until Christmas." Now all of a sudden,
no, whoa. Let's play that up. Wally is saying, I care about basketball today. When I said
person.
The season doesn't start until Christmas.
Yeah. Okay, correction.
Right. I'm that
correction.
Person. I'm that person.
Y'all 51, 1 and 1,
51,
I give you,
though,
you get a, okay, yeah, thank you. Same thing.
51-51.
Okay.
51-51, you know what I'm saying?
Listen, did I not tell people, do not let them paint the narrative that, oh, LeBron, they already painted the story for the guy to win or lose to be the greatest. Okay, that's the new media term right now for LeBron. They're trying to surpass him. But, you know, he even got that sucker up or, you know, back west program, Fox Sports person, you know, Colin, talking about LeBron has better competition than Mike. I disagree. Better athletes, yes. Better competition, no. I think there's a difference between the two, and having better athletes and having better competition. Basketball was better, harder, and more difficult to play back than it is now, in my opinion. They're all the same. So everybody shoots, everybody can score, but still no one plays defense. So you tell me which ones who had the better and harder competition. But I digress. 347-637-3859. Shout out to our social media, to the network stars, Ayatollahs and Rock and Rollers. Mr. X, King Vaughn Jr. 720 on the Twitter. Last night's Survivor Series, fellas. Listen, I know if you didn't watch it, you have to hear it because you were part of social media. That girl by the name of Woo! Charlotte Flair? Oh, she baptized Ronda Rousey. So if you get a chance, don't have to go watch the whole entire pay-per-view because even myself gave it like a 3 out of 5 in her Continental Ultimate Warrior title belt. It was, you know, good matches, but not, you know, overall a good Survivor Series. But damn! She baptized Ronda Rousey last night, y'all. As a wrestler, as a person who likes women, and if you like seeing women get beat, which nobody should, right? I don't know if I came out, but she got her ass beat last night. And that baby Survivor Series last night. We'll talk about that today as well. But I got to start right here where I got the NFC East. The A-team is in the building, the NFC East. The Philadelphia Eagles gets crushed 48-7. The injury-plagued Washington Redskins, who I have to say this, before the injuries, was probably the best team in the NFC East, or, you know, without a shadow of that, they were winning. They were surprising us. No one wanted to give them credit for what they were doing, but that defense was playing stout and that offense was moving the ball. So a lot to be said there, but our injuries have taken even more now with 33 years to the day. We heard it all yesterday, Joe Theismann's injury. Now they lose Alex Smith, surgery immediately. If you didn't see it, it was very gruesome, the words Wally used a while ago here, but now they're gone. Now the surgeons of all teams, the 8-8 supremacy division winners all the time, the Dallas Cowgirls, I'm sorry, I'm going to be nice today, King Vaughn Jr., Dallas Cowboys look like they have the driver's seat, or do you still believe the Giants have a chance here coming up against the Eagles next week? Starting with you, while your team is hurting, but they're still in the division lead.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's going to be an interesting situation. Colt McCoy is now the starting quarterback. Obviously losing Alex Smith, who was a leader, is a guy who was trying to get his feet wet in the offense. Didn't turn the ball over as much, though, against the Houston Texans. He did turn the ball over twice, including a pick six. But Colt McCoy is a guy who's been in the offense for a while. Jay Gruden has stated that he has so much trust in Colt McCoy. He's actually been a guy who's kind of, been on Colt McCoy's fan support in terms of being on the bus. So I'm interested to see what Colt McCoy is going to do against the Cowboys. Don't forget, a couple years back in Dallas, you know, in that big start, he did beat the Cowboys on Monday night. So I'm interested to see what Colt McCoy going back to Texas, being a Texas guy. I'm sure he'll get a lot of support going back home because he's other than Vince Young, he's one of the more prized Texas quarterbacks out there. So
right.
If he has a big game, he beats the Cowboys. Obviously, that puts the Skins back in the driver's seat. They lose, then, you know, they still get help. The Cowboys have New Orleans next week after Thursday. So it's not like the Cowboys are going to go undefeated anyway. So,
so Jay Chris, jump in there now. NFC East, who's the dog here now?
Well, first, let me just say, Wiley, if Colt McCoy wins any games for the Skins, it's going to be this week. It'll be this week. Not a lot of tape on him to go off of, so it'll be this week. I don't know how much trust I have in Colt McCoy beyond this week, but, you know, it is what it is. The Giants, I've been saying all year, man, I know it's hard to say in the beginning of the year as bad as the Giants look. The Giants are going to be tough. Okay, the Giants will get it together. I don't believe the talk about Eli being done. I really don't believe that. You get him some protection, some time, he's going to make something happen just like any other quarterback. But he's Eli Manning. He got two Super Bowls. He has the pedigree. So, you know, Odell is still there. You got Saquon still there. The offense is going to get it together. Okay, they're going to figure it out. They're figuring it out right now. They're looking good. I think they've won two straight. So, you know, you got to watch out for the Giants. The Eagles, listen, man, I don't know. You know, they haven't had fight all year. People talk about yesterday. They ain't just been yesterday. They haven't had fight all year long, okay? So, you know, I really don't believe in the Eagles right now. I believe the Eagles are what I thought they were going to be last year before they went on that great run that they went on, an 8-8 team, a 9-7 team maybe at best. And we're seeing that right now. They just look worse. It just looks worse now because of how good they were last year, of course. So, you know, that magnifies everything. The Skins are still the team to beat as of right now. I think they're going to have to figure out the quarterback situation. While you could speak to this, I heard they worked out Mark Sanchez today. Mr. Butt from himself,
it.
As
they
Mike
would
say.
They signed
him.
They signed him because the reason why they signed him was because, well, obviously, you know, politics with Colin Kaepernick. I'm not going to get into all that. But Sanchez is very familiar with the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator, and they need the guy quick to back up Colt McCoy. So, because they didn't have anybody
could
else
you imagine,
know, on the practice squad or whatnot. So,
Let me say this. Politics-wise, I didn't think Dan Snyder would do it because of the DC. I didn't think he would, but it would have been an awesome sight to see if that would have happened.
Yeah.
But I probably would have went with your explanation, Wiley, kind of explains it a little better than the thought process I had. I would have went with Sam Bradford. I would have tried to get Sam Bradford in there. Let him back him up and maybe even take over the starting position. You got to think Sam Bradford's better than Colt McCoy, but. You know, Colt McCoy got a job and Sam Bradford doesn't, so who knows?
Yeah.
Well, I agree. Sam Bradford's still sitting on $17 million this year alone. He doesn't want to play.
Yeah, but
Sammy
to your point, why it's more, again, like the Sam Bradford thing, I was in favor of Sam Bradford. But, you know, again, I've heard his leg issues were a reason why they didn't make that call. I'm all for, like, to me,
Isn't it always his leg?
Yeah, it's always his leg. It is. I'm always on this tip, though, when it comes to, like, a backup quarterback, especially somebody like Colt McCoy who tends to, like, get hurt often, who likes to put his body on the line. You're on a playoff push. Why? You better have a quarterback that you think that can win you a couple games, not a guy that you know is going to lose you all the game. So I'm on that. Get the best player available.
I look at this team – as far as the NFC East, and I hate to say it. To me, it's the Cowboys. It's the Dallas Cowboys who the Philadelphia Eagles, 14 days ago, had a chance to put the nail in the coffin in their season, in their coach, did not do the damn job. They didn't get the job done. They didn't do what they were supposed to do, and they gave that team life. Now, you looking at the Giants there, Jay Chris, and I agree with you. Paper-wise, I think the Giants is just really good. Defensive, they tried to sell off their assets like they were Michael Jackson. It's backfired on them. They were trying to lose with New York, and now they're winning. They were trying to lose the game. They wasn't playing to win the game. They were trying to lose the game, and they started to win. Okay? So I still got to look at this division. Washington playing. I'm sorry. I don't think if the Eagles had half the heart the Washington Redskins were playing with, the Eagles would be running away with this division. That's the heart I see in the Washington Redskins watching that team play every week, despite everything that happens to that team. They're still fighting. That's the dog that the Eagles possessed last year, being underdogs. They're watching and holding now, but I don't think it's going to hold up because they're just losing too many. Same thing with the Philadelphia Eagles. Not only are they not playing, I said this all year long, it's the booger sugar and the strippers. It's still going on. People do not understand the magnitude of winning a Super Bowl in the city of Philadelphia. And only people that can even come close to understanding that, only two cities in my opinion, oh really, is the Chicago Cubs fan base and maybe the Boston Red Sox fan base for the years they went before they finally won one. So to know what this city was under and that team was under and its fan base, which I'm a part of, was under, they're partying. But to me, as that fan base, all I wanted was a playoff division, was a division win again. I didn't want to be horrible. Right now, there's the booger sugar still on tack. The strippers are still being called on speed dial, and they're not, and they're hurt. Last year when they got hurt, people stepped up. Now they're just getting hurt all over the place. Everybody's falling on. Like, every week you're just watching somebody in that secondary, which wasn't good in the first place, get hurt. So you look at the Dallas Cowboys, you look at the game management that Dakota is doing, you look at Zeke being Zeke and this defense that quietly has it's really, really, really good. I know we don't want to admit that because we're haters of the division and the haters of the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, every week they get better and better. And Smith from Notre Dame, just a man-child. And this team is just incredible on defense, in my opinion. And I think if they win the NFC East, very possible. If I had to jump off the Eagles bandwagon and I picked them in the division, I would pick the Dallas Cowboys to win it. But I still think, don't know where it's coming from, J. Chris. I don't have an idea in the book, but mathematically speaking, only team they can lose to is the Rams, and we can win the whole division again. So why not? That's all I want. I don't care. I just want to win the division again. Because last night, a couple weeks ago, I said as an Eagles fan, it has to be the most embarrassing thing ever. We thought we were past embarrassing things. That was the comeback with Carolina. And now 48-7. And then have this coach, J. Chris. How did you feel, J. Chris? Micah, he's not here. He's on inboxing me right now. Wally, about the 4th-and-7 call for Peyton. Was that like you got Malcolm Jenkins coming back giving you the finger because you did that on 4th-and-7? You're already up by as many points you have, J. Chris, your thoughts on that?
look, they saw an opportunity to take advantage of a decimated defense that is weak and putrid. And did just that. He played Madden football on that. He saw the advantage and he played Madden football, ran that score up. That's it. All it is to it. He saw his own advantage. He took the advantage, ran the score up.
So if that was Major League Baseball, somebody would have got hit the next time up the plate. You know that, right?
Absolutely.
Hockey, someone was getting blindsided by that. You know that, right?
Absolutely.
Wow,
if it was college baseball, somebody's getting hit.
I mean, I ain't surprised he did that to the he was talking trash to Peters and for the Rams. He don't surprise me. He's arrogant. He's always been arrogant. So that's who he is. I mean, it always comes back around. He's arrogant now, but once a certain matchup happens, then he's going to be humble. He's arrogant. He's always felt himself. So eventually, it'll come back around, and when it does, people bring up the situation of what happened against the Eagles, what happened against the Rams earlier with Peters in the season. So he's the type of dude that you don't root for. Put it that way.
I just say, the hell with the New Orleans Saints, the hell with Kamara, the hell with Mr. Ingram. It just burns my britches. That's old enough. I'm not too old to say burnt my britches, because I think that just burns my britches that they would do that. It really does. But
Let me say something.
Wow.
Let me just say something about the Ingram and Kamara. It's easy to boast about it against a team that's obviously down. You know, I mean, it's not like the Eagles came in with one of the top records in the league. Everybody healthy, and they came in and whooped the Eagles' ass. No. That's not what happened.
Right.
They beat a dead horse, and they want to talk smack about it. I'm not impressed by what they did, by no means.
No, I'm not. I was fully
expecting of the Saints to put up 40 something points. It wasn't impressive, but if you ask me, I mean, the Saints probably still could have scored more, but I was not impressed by what they did.
It's not often I ever turn off the TV from an Eagles game, but by mid-third quarter, I was done. When it was 17-0, and they scored the touchdown, they got the ball back, and they didn't score on that next try to go 17-14, that's when the game was over. I felt they got their one chance to make it a competitive game, and they didn't do that, and that irked me a little bit. But what I do want to talk about, though, is the craziness of the Golden State Warriors, brought to you by Wally Wow. Say, Mike, we're not going to talk about that? I was like, yo, I almost completely forgot about that. And I thought it was very intriguing. I talked about it on the JMO as I brought back the Hour in Power and Sports on Saturdays at 6:30. Guys, you know, this is episode 1990 on this network.
That was a good year.
Episode 1990.
Hell of a year.
We are now 9 episodes away before BDSR Network 2000. Damn, y'all wasn't here, but I thank you guys over the weekend for y'all support, for being here, for chopping it up with me, for being a part of a lot of those episodes. Jay, Chris, you've been here longer as well. Thank y'all. I mean, it's crazy to be coming on 2,000 episodes, yo. And it came faster than I thought. Like I knew it was coming, and I stopped counting a couple months back. Like, okay, we'll get it sometime by the end of the year. But I looked up today, and it was episode 1990. I wonder how many episodes you have. I didn't delete episodes. Right, those episodes you deleted, they don't count, right? Because they still count, you know, it'll be over 2,000. But we're not going to count them today. But over the weekend, the Golden State Warriors are not doing what they're normally used to doing, beating people's arse. The funny part about the whole situation is that I hear that Draymond Green spoke up for the people. The people on Twitter that don't like Kevin Durant was the voice of Draymond Green. He was the Paul Heyman of the situation, Wally, when he said 3 epic hurtful words. Words hurt, people. Sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Who said words don't hurt? That is a lie. Let your mother tell you you're a piece of monkey trash. It's gonna hurt. Okay? That's fact. It's just the way it is. So, he said to him, we don't need you. Wally, did that cut to the white meat?
No, I think KD's smart enough to know they did need him, because that's the reason why Draymond called him.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, he's the one who called Kevin Durant. He's the one who called him, right?
Hey,
No. Dray, you know, who bragged about calling Kevin Durant? Who bragged about it? Think about it. Who's the one who bragged and said, I had to call him off the bat after we lost LeBron? Who said that? The same dude who called him a B, right? The same exact dude.
Yeah,
why are you complaining, dude? You the one who called him. Now you say we don't need you. You the one who called him. Because
you don't think he was speaking for the whole
say,
team?
No.
You think that was a one
person? No,
he
wasn't.
He didn't
no.
say, I don't
he
need you. He said, we.
Nah, this is what it is. Let's keep the buck. You called KD because you lost LeBron. Because you lost LeBron. You knew LeBron was getting ready to beat you. So, you know, you say, you know what? We need somebody to beat this dude. You know, we need somebody to beat this dude. And I'm gonna call KD so I can make sure we can beat this dude. You call like I'm gonna say something my boy told me he's playing a horse, and I called him out because I want to beat him a horse. Like I called him out, and then when he beat me, he was like, "Man, you called me." He said, "You called me." Well, you wanted to beat LeBron. KD didn't call you. You called him. You called KD. Because if it was for you calling KD, KD would have stayed with Westbrook. If it was for you calling him, putting that full court press on him. So obviously you thought you needed
There's no way Draymond did not speak for that whole entire team. Jay, Chris, you think that was all Draymond?
That was entirely Draymond. And I'm going to tell you why. What brought about the comment? Did you see what brought about the comment? It was the fact that Draymond, in a game situation, Draymond turns the ball over when he should have gave the ball to Durant.
Yeah.
Right?
He
because the ball's got to go to Durant. Right? So he's mad. Durant says something to him, and he snaps back. Come on, man. Look, everybody knows the Warriors need Kevin Durant to win a chip. That's why he went there. The Let's keep it a buck. The Warriors were lucky to win that first chip. Okay, they were fortunate to win the first chip. Kyrie goes down, Kevin Love goes down. They got fortunate to win the first chip. What happened in the second chip? They blew a 3-1 lead. Right? Same thing. They blew a 3-1 lead.
Not three.
come back with Kevin Durant. Now they're an unstoppable force. Okay? They're an unstoppable force. Imagine they blew a 3-1 lead after winning the most games in the NBA ever. Okay, best record in the NBA ever, and then they blow a 3-1 lead in the finals. Kevin Durant comes to the team, they win back-to-back chips. Draymond, y'all need Kevin. I'm going to tell you right now. Draymond, if you're listening, y'all need Kevin. And you know y'all need Kevin. Because as soon as Kevin's gone, y'all not finals contenders anymore.
I'm going to disagree with that. This team won all those games without Kevin Durant. Don't get me wrong.
That's true.
Do not understand.
And they lost the
finals.
And they lost the finals.
Okay, but they also won one with them.
They were fortunate to play a depleted Cleveland Cavaliers team.
Should not play the Kings in the NFC Championship game, people would say. That's fortunate.
Let's talk about this.
When Cleveland was full strength and Golden State was full strength, who won the finals?
LeBron, the Kang. Not the GOAT.
I will say this though, if I'm the GM, right, and like I'm trying to save money, I'm really concerned about signing signing multiple players. Yeah, I wouldn't resign. I would think about trading Kevin Durant. I honestly would think about it, because you get to save. You can keep Clay. You can keep if you want to keep Draymond. Draymond's cheaper, and you know you can compete. You know, Steph is, because real talk for real. Steph is the thing that makes that thing click at Golden State in terms of how they win ball games consistently. As much as I
when like to stay healthy.
Steph is like this. Yeah, when he can stay healthy. You know what I'm saying? If you look at the record, it's in the record. You see it in the record. But so if Steph is on the squad with KD, then you're good. Like, you're good. And so the thing about Draymond making it a KD versus Draymond thing, like, dude, just keep it a buck. They suspended you for a reason. They'd rather keep KD over you. All right? Eric? KD was already, and they already got KD doing media stuff for the opening of the freaking new arena, and he may not be here. He may not be here. Truth be told, he won't be here. I'm confident enough to say he won't be in Golden State. He won't be in Golden State.
Because you know he's going to L.A. LA.
New York, L.A. That's the word. But listen, I'm just saying, like, for this Kevin Durant, like,
he's even more with Draymond calling him. He goes to L.A. He's even more with that.
He's salty because, man, we all play ball with people like that, man. We all play ball with some OT cats. You going good. You the dude dropping in this game. You're 16. You got maybe half of the buck. Then you got in this game point. You know you're supposed to get that ball. You know you're supposed to get that work. And all of a sudden, you got this OC cat jumping up the court when you were supposed to get a touch, and then he messes it up on game point.
That was that Will Smith problem.
No. You act like Draymond is not part of the backbone of the team. That's not Steph. If you're Steph,
but you're Draymond Green. No. That's ridiculous. No, that's ridiculous.
You got Kevin Durant, you got Klay Thompson, you got Steph Curry, you got Draymond Green. Which one is the last one to get the ball in a game winning situation?
Stop that! No, blind tag. I'm not disagreeing with that. What I'm disagreeing with is the fact that what you said and what people are saying are painting the narrative that, oh, Draymond made the wrong basketball decision because in that moment,
he
didn't give Kevin Durant the ball. No, he makes great decisions all the time. So
no,
because KD didn't get the ball. You think Mike never got the ball when he didn't
want
the ball?
No, it's a bad decision. Scottie Pippen ain't tripping that ball up and down the court. You got Michael Jordan in the squad. He giving that right to Mike. Don't do that. Don't do that. Kobe, Derek Fisher ain't pushing up the court when he got Kobe. No. Getting the ball to the dude, you know who's got his fast.
First of all, I've seen Scottie in person and on television plenty of times push that ball up the court with Michael in front of him. So
coach,
I am going to do
out.
That.
No.
And
no,
you're wrong.
If anything, Scottie dribbles it up to half court, calls timeout, and they run the play for Mike. Don't do that. If you want to keep it a buck, you see Kevin Durant in the NBA Finals. Pull up a half court three in transition to LeBron. That's the same play right there. So Draymond going to throw the ball up and down the court and turn the ball. Are you serious? 116 to 116, and you gonna have Draymond bring it up? For what?
It's part of his job description. Listen to me. Because it sounds like I'm defending Draymond. I'm defending what the team has shown. I'm not defending the fact that you don't give the ball up to the better ball handler, better decision maker of the team. Right? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that the way that it is being portrayed as if he hasn't done this in, I've seen them in final minutes of games before, be the one to control that tempo and then pass for that winning assist. I've seen it.
Mm-mm.
I've seen it.
Nah, that's on set plays, Mike.
That's different.
No, not on set. No, he hasn't.
Are you sitting here telling me that you've seen every single final play of the
game? I'm not going to say I see everything. I bet you I see the same amount of games you saw, because we both ain't on West Coast time. I'm telling you, the majority.
I wanted to talk about a team that we all hate, but you can't help but to watch that must see TV this year, and that's the Duke Blue Devils, man.
See, why do you want to change? I didn't want to do that.
I know we all hate that squad. We all do.
That kid ain't the best.
Let me tell you right now.
Not in the best player on the team. How much you think
he paid? Williamson? Yeah, he's not the best player.
Yeah.
Barrett.
Well, how much you think he paid?
Barrett's a beast.
I disagree. I disagree.
No, he ain't the best player. You think he's the best player on the team?
Listen, I know that you, I say it enough that you should start paying me for saying it so much that I think you know more about basketball than I do. Okay? So, but not taking nothing from that, I know my fair share as well. I dabbled in the game and I watched the game. From the college perspective, Barrett may be better in what we're watching, but I do not think for one second he will be what Zion will be to the NBA. So to me,
Zion is a better player.
I'm not arguing with that part.
But that's my reason for saying he can't be, because what I see in Zion, it was like for someone who like myself and all of us and Jay Chris said, we all hate Duke. I couldn't like Kyrie. So I'm like, eight games? So in eight games, he's this damn good? You know what I'm saying? So I look at Zion, and I'm sorry, like you said, they whooped Kentucky so bad, it took them from 2 to 10.
That's amazing to me, man.
Okay? And when I watched it, you watched it. Listen, was it this? No, it was last Sunday at 1 o'clock, they played Army. Do you know, instead of watching NFL, the first thing I said was, where's ESPN? I can't believe I'm about to watch Duke, because I think they're going to be more entertaining than any game I have on TV that's not Red Zone right now.
Must see TV, man.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you think they
I'm watching them right now.
As good as what they're being compared to, the Fab Five? And here's why I don't think it's a fair comparison.
I'm biased, though.
I say no because of what the Fab Five did was groundbreaking. You know what I mean?
And
you look at the story and what those who beat them, like Jimmy Jackson from Ohio State, likes to point out, is that they didn't win anything, but their impact will last forever on their culture. Their impact.
Their legacy is the impact. They were a really good team, and their legacy is the impact they had on pop culture and on the hip hop culture. It happened at the time, like the Fab Five came along at a time where a lot of things were in transition. Pop culture was elevating. Rap music was changing from what it was to kind of more a more raw kind of dangerous type thing, and the Fab Five fit that bill. You understand what I'm saying? Right now with this team, I mean, personally, I think the UNLV team was better than the Fab Five, personally. But
I personally think that's the best team I've ever seen in college basketball. And so if we compare them to somebody, that's who I say you compare them to. You don't compare them to the Fab Five, because I think they're better than the Fab Five for what we're – to me, this goes to that argument that maybe we shouldn't go in today or ever. It's that what they said about who had better competition, Mike or LeBron. I think that goes with this conversation as well. When I look at this Duke team can run the table. And the only team I ever seen run the table was that UNLV team that did it very – that's not a women's team, that did it very dominantly. Like you said, I heard your name on the Stacey Augmans, the Greg Anthony's, the Grandmama. Like that team was –
Larry Johnson, and to this day, I will always
believe in my heart of hearts the day sold out for that championship to Duke. There was no way, and call me what you want to call me, being a black guy from the south side of Chicago, and I played against a lot of white boys in my day, growing up in Darby, Pennsylvania also. Them group of white boys wasn't beating old UNLV. Say what you want to say. That was not supposed to happen. It was no we took them for granted. It was we got paid to lose.
At the same time, with the Fab Five, though, I mean, they were in the era when freshman starting wasn't really a trendy thing. You know what I mean? They were playing against grown men. You know what I mean? So that's why I don't know. Like, nowadays, freshmen can start. So to me, like, this Duke team, you don't know. When you're playing against grown men, when you're playing against seniors on a regular, these dudes playing against freshmen. So it's different. You're playing against a different type of body mentality. You know what I mean? Like, the Fab Five was, they was holding on against people, grown men. And that's a difference. You know what I'm saying? You see it a lot, even in some of the good, some of the vicious Kentucky teams. Like, when they play the mid-major teams, right, and they're playing against grown men, you see them struggling a little bit. In the tournament. I'm talking about in the tournament.
I know somebody
in the regular. Like, you going to –
they beat somebody 113-33 yesterday. The Kentucky Stars. I saw that score. It was Kentucky 113-33. Like, really, Coach K? Coach Cheetah Perry? Really? Is that what you do to a team?
So I'm saying, it's just different. Like, it's a different style, different time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when they did, they were beating grown men. Like, that's different. I mean, regardless of the era you want to talk about, that's still tough. That's tough.
Well, here's how I see it. When the Fab Five did it, it was kind of like the first of its kind. Right now, we've seen it over and over and over again. We're used to seeing it's almost become the norm now for the Defy freshmen. it does factor in the fact that these kids are freshmen, but it's not the fact that they're freshmen that makes it so impressive to me. I just think they're just a hell of a basketball team, and it's not even what they do offensively that makes me think they're a hell of a team. It's what they do defensively, the way they cause confusion on other teams, the way they cause the turnovers and stuff like that. I think that makes them a hell of a team, and they're going to be tough to deal with, and they're big too. Zion Williamson, 6'8", 285.
Like, let me ask you this.
Where does that happen?
Nowhere. Nowhere. That's
why jump out and jump two hand from the free throw line, bro.
We heard stuff like who's the next Mike, right?
Crazy.
We tried to hear who's the next LeBron. I don't want to put it on this kid, but he's the next built of LeBron. You know what I mean? LeBron
to me,
intelligent that you can't put that on anybody.
Bigger than
LeBron. As I call him the pick man of the NBA.
More athletic than LeBron.
So if he can, and he
well,
looks
see,
like
I'm not ready to say I'm not ready to say he's more athletic. I'm not ready to say he's more athletic.
I watched him
play
junior high school.
LeBron can do
two-hand
free throw line.
He can do what?
LeBron can do two-hand free throw line.
No, not two.
I mean, but LeBron's 30 something years old.
No, I'm saying when he was younger, he couldn't.
I'm saying when he was younger.
Yeah, when he was younger, he couldn't do that.
I'm saying
he couldn't do that.
He couldn't do this.
Okay.
LeBron's prime is Miami. LeBron was a grown man in Miami. Those were the best LeBron years. Was Miami.
Like, my thing is, you 280, LeBron, you 280 and can do this. That's why you know you're super athletic. You 280 and you can do this. Like,
right.
I don't think we understand. Like, you 280 and you double the free throw line.
But here's what concerns me.
Come
here's
on.
What concerns me about. What's he, 19 years old? He's 280 right now?
Yeah.
I think he's going to have to lose weight. To play in the NBA game because he's going
to
by the time he's like 25, he could be, 7 foot tall. He might grow another few inches.
He may.
I don't see that.
Maybe 6'10", 6'11". Sorry, I forgot that inches go to 12 and not 10. My bad. Sorry, I'm not a math whiz. But what I'm saying is, I give him a few more inches.
I think he'll have to drop
Listen,
some weight.
Let me ask you guys this, though. Do you think going into the tournament, being that you got these kids we're talking about, so athletic, so talented, very well coaches, we know Coach K can coach a team. Two things there I want to take notice of. One is Coach K said, you know what, Chia Perry, if you can do it, I can do it. I'm going to do it better than you, and I'm going to be one done coach
man.
As well.
He's been
okay.
He's been started
so,
cheating, man.
So, you know, yeah, okay. But, now he's doing the one and done cheat. Okay. So
he's doing he's a little more extreme now. He's being very extreme right now.
Yeah, he's being very open and broken. And, I told you before, I don't think it's fair that he was able to do anything with the Olympic team. I've always thought that was an unfair advantage to anything in collegiate sports. I always thought that was unfair.
Agreed.
These kids, they're looking at the greatest players in the world being coached by you. Why would I not want to go play for you? That was completely unfair and giving
exactly.
a coaching advantage the other coaches didn't have. But when you look at this team being with Barrett being from Canada, And Zion from South Carolina and some of these other kids from other being the quote unquote since we're comparing to the Fab Five, Chris Webber was looked at as being soft. So when he came to the Fab Five, he got a toughness that people thought he didn't have. Can these kids tough it out against some of these tougher teams like a Virginia, like a Florida State, like some of these teams maybe when they get to the tournament that's not afraid to dig in them and not be afraid of them. Do you think this team's talent can still overshine that? Because I think in today's basketball, and going back to the Kevin Durant thing, that posed to me, Kevin Durant being sensitive about Draymond Green, I thought was soft, and that's why I mentioned the comments about Twitter thought all these things about KD that Draymond said. So I'm gonna bring that into this conversation here. Can they overcome being pushed around?
Well, I'm gonna say this. I'm going to say this. Right now, early in the season, there's a mystique about them. Okay? And I'm going to say around Christmas time, sometime in January, there's going to be around the time when league play start, conference play, there's going to be teams the Carolinas, the Virginias, the Florida States, the NC States, they're going to be tired of hearing about this team. Okay, and they are going to get physical with them. I think they're going to see a lot of physical play earlier than they probably would have had they not been so much attention on them. So I think by the time the tournament time comes around, I think they'll either be accustomed to the physical play, or they're going to wither at the physical play. All right, and I just, in my opinion, looking at this team, I think they'll be too good, and they're a little, you know, AAU ball and all the stuff that they've been playing all their lives. I think they're too seasoned to wither at physical play. All right, they're in the game right now. That's a little bit physical against San Diego State. Well, they got, you know, they playing against grown men out here, and they, you know, they're just out athleticing them. If I can use that word, if I can create that word right now,
I mean, it's
they're
out athleticing. We make words in the barbershop. You know, I make up all kind of words, syntifithis and all kind of words. I don't know how to pronounce or spell. It's fine.
Yeah,
so that's the barbershop.
They're
out athleticing
them right now, and they're able to outscore them.
Out athleticing them.
Okay. Yeah, like tomorrow, if they play Auburn, it might be a little bit different. They're a little bigger than Auburn. Auburn wasn't that physical. They were a shooting team. So, you know, they might be able to take advantage of it unless Auburn is just hot. Okay, but let's talk about this again in January, February, before tournament time, to see how they handle physical. They're going to see physical play a whole lot earlier, being that they're freshmen, being that they're young, being that they're getting all the attention, being that they're the number one team in the country right now. They're going to see a lot of physical play a lot earlier than most teams will, and that's when we're going to be able to tell right there.
Wally, I say bring it
no,
on.
Actually,
I want to see what these boys
actually,
can do.
You mentioned Virginia. I think that'd be a great test because their style of basketball is different. It's not just physical. They don't care about scoring, so all they do is they're interested in limiting one's possessions offensively and trying to take advantage of their offense. So I think Virginia is definitely a team that, you know, would be a good test because that's the type of team that can frustrate a young freshman team because, you know, freshmen still want to go up and down the court and they want to score. And the way Virginia plays, they limit your scoring opportunities. So I think that game is a good test. It's a very good test. But in terms of, like, how gifted they are, I mean, they remind me, if you're going to look at current NBA, current college teams, like the Kentucky team with Anthony Davis, like, that team was stacked. Like, when I had the Anthony Davis wasn't even trying to shoot the ball because he had so many scorers and ballers on his team that in pro prospects. So, like, when you look at this Duke team, it's all about, you know, again, when you get tested, it's like when you get tested, how you respond. It's almost like the whole Mike Tyson thing we talked about in the past. I mean, everything's cool until you get punched in the mouth. You know what I mean? Then how big and bad are you? You know what I'm saying? So I want to see how they respond when they get punched in the mouth. Because right now everything's good, you know, and you know there's going to be a point in the time in the season where they won't dominate. Something's going to be hard. You want to know how they respond to it.
347-637-3859. Number to call in. Back with you guys on the best and worst of the weekend. And speaking of all things that happened over this past weekend, before we get into the NFL tonight on Monday, and a little bit of Survivor Series talk, as I did my my review. On Facebook Live, also on YouTube right now, youtube.com/TheGameV1. That's THA. Also be available on podcast later in this evening as well on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn app, Google Play, whatever podcast or so. But, and that is Tyson Fury and friend of the program, Deontay Wilder, is fast approaching us. December 1st. And I'm going to ask you a question, Wally. Are you going to a fight party? Or are you interested in this fight at all? Because, you know, Jay Chris, at the last time we had a conversation about this fight, got me a little bit worried about Deontay. And I started watching. Got me in the lab watching. Well, not really the lab, but like YouTube, right? YouTube and Tyson Fury.
That's a lab.
Okay. All right, thank you. So I'll be YouTubing the hell out of that stuff. Well, I'll be in the lab all day. YouTube University, congratulations. But that dude, he is swift on his feet. His footwork is really, really, really good, and he slips punches very, very well. And Deontay, who are my biggest fear, is that he gets too cocky and he stands in front of somebody. I don't think Tyson has punching power. I agree with Jay Chris in that one, as he said. I'm taking out your whole critique there, Jay Chris, in case they wasn't listening. I'm just reiterating them what you said, and I'm, you know, using them in agreement. But if he lands enough, you know, that he will, he can put you to sleep by hitting it so many times. And can Deontay do it? Are you going to watch this fight? And I'm not giving a prediction right now, but, you know, are you excited about this fight? Or you think this is just a quick fight for Deontay to go take on Anthony Joshua?
The only fight I'm excited for is Mikey versus Earl Spence. This fight here is.
Well, hold on. So no Pacquiao and Bronner? You're not happy for Pacquiao and Bronner?
I love Pac-Man, but come on, we find Adrian Brown. Are you serious? You find Adrian Brown. Right? It is what it is. I am excited. I mean,
so you know he's
going to
lose to Bronner then, right? He loses to Bronner.
No, he's going to beat Bronner. Come on, stop that. Stop that, man. It's beating Bronner. It's going to knock him out, too. But we're looking at Earl. I mean, you look at Earl Spence. I got that fight in my mind so heavy. We're looking at Fury and Wilder. I have the same way I thought of it. It's going to be a knockout in the fifth round. Wilder knocking him out. I mean, he has footwork, but I just think that chin ain't going to hold up to one of Wilder's bomb squad. I don't see that happening. So
Wilder has a tendency of he's a piece. He's fighting a bigger man, which is not very often. The heavyweight division is very big these days too. Like, these guys are much taller and bigger than they were back in the day. Okay, I don't think they have the same skill, heart, or punching power they did back in the day, but they're bigger. Okay, so.
Yeah.
I worry about it. I do. I love the guy. I love his personality. I love that he's trying to get paid. I love the fact that, he's a family guy. I watched. I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch the
Showtime
called there.
All Access.
All Access to them. I like the guy. It's his first pay-per-view. Being that he's blessed us with so many interviews, I was a part of the conference call last week. But you don't think the fight should be on pay per view, Wally?
No, it's ridiculous. How is this fight on pay per view? It's a joke.
He was waiting
for
them.
Like, who's gonna would you really pay for this when you can get some of these fights? Like on like regular TV or HBO. Like, really? You gonna pay extra for pay per view to see this? Like, this is a fight that could be on Showtime by itself or PBC.
Yeah,
and
I made that mistake last time. I think that's gonna be HBO's last fight was this one. I was completely wrong about the network. So HBO Boxing is completely dead. But you know what, Wally? I agree. I think it could be on Showtime. It should be on Showtime. But I'm not gonna be mad. You know me. I support, as Jay Chris does so much so well with the new Twist show and supporting black business. I support guys that come on this program. Seriously,
that's
I do.
Man. I appreciate that. Nice. You're a nice guy.
I'm gonna tell y'all what y'all already know and the reason why. Let me tell the audience the reason why this fight is a pay per view fight. The only reason this fight is a pay per view fight is because you have the two best heavyweights that you can get into the ring together fighting. That's the only reason. If Anthony Joshua was willing and able
was
willing
like
to fight
sucker.
Either one of these guys,
yeah.
If he was willing to fight either sucker. One of these guys right now, it would be a pay-per-view fight. Yeah. But these are the best two heavyweights that you can get into the ring with each other right now. And they're going to make you pay for it. So what does that mean for boxing? That means when Anthony Joshua fights one of these guys, it's absolutely going to be on pay-per-view. Without a doubt. But there's not going to be an Anthony Joshua fight on pay-per-view unless it's one of these two guys.
That makes a lot of sense.
I don't think Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury is a pay-per-view fight anybody wants to see that's in America.
What if Fury beats Deontay Wilder?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying if that happens, that's not a fight nobody
still
wants
not paying
to see.
For it?
You know why? Because here's
the
thing. Hold on, Wally. Here's the thing that bothers me about the what's written about Deontay. He hasn't fought nobody. The record isn't worthy. I mean, I had to talk with you guys in this program. Who has he fought? Who has he beaten? The thing would go, well, who has anybody beaten the heavyweight division? At least I give him credit where every boxer known to man almost besides Mikey Garcia, right, says, well, talk to my team. He says, no, I want to fight that guy. I want to bring all – he said from day one, I want to unify the titles. Even Big Baby the dude in Brooklyn is trying to say, I want to unify the titles. Like, I can't hate on these guys for that. So they're trying. They're trying to put the stuff together. And, hey, like I said, I'm going to support them. I'm going to pay for the pay-per-view. I don't know why.
Here's why Deontay Wilder is box office. Here's why he's box office and why he should be on pay-per-views all the time. Because every fighter that has stood in front of him has snuggled up with the canvas. Every single one.
Absolutely.
So when you have a guy that's – before Mike Tyson won the title, Mike Tyson was pay-per-view. or closed circuit, to whatever you want to call it at the time. But before you want to decide that he was pay per view. Okay.
Think
about that. Deontay Wilder is knocking everybody out.
Yeah,
why
I
is
like
he not pay per view?
Well, he's not pay per view because the division isn't worthy of pay per view. To be honest with you, I think the only pay per view fight that's worthy of being pay per view in the heavyweight division is Wilder. Joshua. Everybody else.
I agree.
Yeah, anybody else they fight ain't pay per view to me. Like I wouldn't want to, and I like Anthony Joshua. I'm not watching Anthony Joshua versus Fury. I'm not watching Anthony Joshua versus Ortiz. I'm watching Anthony Joshua if I wanted to.
You're leaving it at the heavyweight division. I'm of the thought process right now that there's not too many fights in all of boxing that are worth a pay per view right now, and I don't know because I'm paying for it. I don't know if that's why I feel that way, but I just don't feel like there's too many matchups in all of boxing right now that are worth a pay per view.
You don't think Mikey and Spence is pay per view? You don't think Mikey and Spence is worth pay per view?
No, I don't, and I'm going to tell you why. Because Mikey's moving up for this fight. Okay, I think he's jumping two. Isn't he jumping like two divisions or something?
Mikey's moving up for this fight, and
he hasn't had a fight in this division yet. That's the only reason I say that. As far as two great fighters, yes. But as far as this fight, which I hope people understand what I'm saying, no, I don't think so. And I'm not saying that I think Mike Garcia is going to lose. I just don't, you know, it's somebody jumping up two divisions. You know, he hasn't established himself as a Manny Pacquiao yet.
Yeah, I get you. Mikey gonna lose though. I love Mikey, but he gonna lose.
But if you give me Earl Spence and Mike's boy Bud Crawford, I'd pay for that.
I'm not paying for that. I'm not paying for that, but I'm watching it though. I'm taking it back.
You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna say Wally pay for something.
Best of the weekend, guys. I'm gonna start off with this. The best of the weekend started off on Saturday as the second best team in college football, the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, New York and Yankee Stadium and put a whooping on them boys. Also, best of the weekend was Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey, people. I have praised and given nothing but kudos to one Ronda Rousey inside the square circle since she's gotten there. And last night proved to me no different. And more than that, as someone who is being made fun of, dragged in the mud for just doing this for the dollar bill, she overcame it all by paying her dues and getting her ass whooped with a kendo stick, a chair around the neck, repeatedly with bruises, ear busted, mouth busted, blood everywhere. Ronda Rousey, best of the weekend. Worst of the weekend has to go to the Maryland Terpsons for giving up that big ass lead to Ohio State University at home. You suck.
Maryland for that one.
What's up, J. Chris? Best and worst of the weekend.
I'm making simple and sweet. Worst of the weekend, the Eagles yesterday. The best of the weekend was the Sixers on Friday, Saturday. Jimmy Butler, baby. Game winner.
Jimmy Butler, baby. No, on Saturday.
Kemba dropped 60, though. Kemba
dropped 60. When he hit the three-pointer, that was better. That was bigger.
Jimmy?
Yeah,
the game winner, as I said. Jimmy with the game winner.
What's he talking about? The game winner? What's he talking about?
Yeah, game winner.
That's all. What you got, Wally? Best or worst of the weekend?
Worst of the weekend, Alex Smith breaking his leg. Best of the weekend, man, LeBron getting 51. You know what I'm saying? Bringing L.A. back. Let's go. Let's go, Lake Show. Let's get that money. 60.
And with that said, people, we're going to get up out of here. Do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me and don't love God. Velveteen Dream, best of the weekend for King Von Jr. 720 on Twitter. We out of here, y'all. Peace.
talented.